Blog Talk Radio.
Shy one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
Friday afternoon, show number 1087, as I'm trying to weave through this madness. Welcome, as we are trying to do our thing, as we always do, with the chefs, courtesy of the loving mad scientist here, at Soul Tree Radio, in the raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingham, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. I mean, all the good shit. Yeah, that one hurt. The who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network. We'll be coming online this year. Radio Reggie down in Richmond, Virginia. Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit, host of the African American Athlete Show. Great listen. Ricky and Mike are on time with pretty much everything they do. Then there is 9 p.m. Tuesdays, and go to their great site, theAfricanAmericanAthlete.com. And, of course, Pat Freeman, the mighty O-Bot. A little more juice than normal today because the Buffalo Bills are in the playoffs and they will see what they can do against those badass Texans from Houston. Hear the podcast later on today, and as always, you can hear Obot on YouTube, courtesy of the mighty Obot, and the show Pro Talk. And of course, us the low chefs here just doing all the low thing and riding shotgun with me. And I must extend a big Happy New Year hug to Ma Gray. I am in concussion protocol, and I will not be able to hobble over there until Monday. But I do love you, Ma, and we will. Well, I can't get anything. I can't get naughty because Gary would say something about that. You might have to kidnap Ma like Tony and I did a few months ago. But anyway, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Nervous Greg. What's up, G?
Michael, we are seeing history made this weekend.
Whoa.
Let me explain this. In 2014, a guy named Wilson got drafted.
Yep.
By the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
Wilson is the bridge. Let me explain this. What I mean by bridge? The bridge from old school to new school.
Mm-hmm.
Wilson is the bridge.
I agree.
Old school is Brady.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Brees.
Yep.
New school is
Jackson.
Goes back here.
That's okay. Old age stuff.
Mahomes.
Yep.
Jackson. Baltimore.
Yep.
And a busy one.
Mm-hmm.
But you get what I'm saying here.
Oh, no, I do exactly what you're saying. You're right.
Wilson is the bridge.
Yes, he is.
The two groups.
Oh, yeah.
I did because the NFL is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Old school, this is the last stand for old school.
That's exactly right. No, I think that's very poignant what you're saying, G, because Russell Wilson has won more games than any other quarterback in his first 8 years. Let me say that again. Russell Wilson has won more games. He has been in double figures every season
3 years
except one when he was 9-7. But that is a measure of consistency that nobody can deny, even for the most stringent of assholes who want to hold on to the old convictions. You know, numbers, as they say, don't lie. And Russell's numbers add up to a higher total than anybody else in his 8 years in the league. Now, the bridge part, as you're saying, is 100% correct. We are going into the playoffs this weekend. We're going to see General Watson doing his thing against Buffalo. And we know in the bye, we've got two other brothers waiting in the cut, General Mahomes and General Jackson. And we get the feeling that it's very, very likely it's going to be one of them who's going to take the AFC into the Super Bowl conversation. Now, on the NFC side, Russell's got a sling, but we know General Wilson, he's one of those cats that you cannot ignore. If he gets past the Eagles, we know Seattle has more than a puncher's chance against whoever they play. Doesn't matter who they are. The only team that I fear that may give them trouble would be New Orleans, because New Orleans has so many weapons. And Russell may be outflanked in that regard. But I'll take my chances with Russell Wilson against anybody. He's that good. And he's also the bridge, as you say, because he kicked a lot of notions in the ass. Russell's 5'11".
Well, the reason why I use the bridge scenario is because he goes from that era and he's moving into the new era. And
I agree with you, but he's also the bridge because of his dimensions.
Right.
Russell,
right.
We've heard so many people say after the fact that if Russell Wilson was 6'3", he would have been a first-round draft choice. Well, fuck you. That means you don't know what the fuck you're looking at, because on the tape, regardless of what fucking size he is, Russell Wilson is born to be a badass. I was a believer about Russell when he was in college and he played in the playoff bowl game. Not playoff bowl, but the bowl game with Wisconsin. Wisconsin was down with less than half a minute remaining. Russell Wilson drove them downfield and was able to manipulate the clock at the same time. Now, we know in the pro game, that's easier because you have X number of timeouts. Russell was working with almost next to nothing, and he was literally 25, 30 yards short of putting Wisconsin in position to score the winning touchdown. That's when I knew this brother is bad. And let's give Seattle their credit, even though we know they sometimes become too nitpicky and they get too cute with Coach Carroll and that asshole Darrell Bevell who cost them the Super Bowl. For the most part, Russell has moved the needle in every way that you said, because he's 5'11", you know, and just like they tried to stick it to General Jackson trying to say that he was too short, and it came out that he was 6'3", Mahomes is 6'2", he gives everybody no excuse. If you didn't pick Russell because he could play football, then you had another agenda that had nothing to do with anything. Tape tells you everything you need to know. And that is why this is so powerful, what you just said about him being the bridge. We got brother Tony McClain in the mix as well. And I don't know if you heard it, T, but Gary makes a great point about Russell Wilson being the bridge between the old school quarterbacks and the new school quarterbacks, many of whom we're going to see on display during the playoffs. And by my, forgive my manners, by guys, help me out here. Have a happy afternoon or whatever and whatnot. And I am still on concussion protocol because I popped my head upside the van last night.
Oh.
I saw little brothers with afros flying around me and shit.
It's a hell of a commute you got there, buddy. I definitely agree with Gary because see the thing is with Russell and with Lamar is that they were that is the old school of being given the opportunity to play. You know, yeah. we all remember put it this way. Somewhere, you know, Matt Flynn is kicking his dog, but but I'm sure knowing how successful Flynn is, I'm sure the dog has probably kicked him back several times. And now
that's
Flynn
right, beat his ass, all that good shit.
Is in the corner, but
mm-hmm.
best man wins. And see,
yeah.
again, a year ago at this time, people were ready to basically give up on Jackson. After
they jumped on him
basically
big time.
Three
mm-hmm.
after basically three quarters of play
yep.
in his first ever playoff game. Now,
mm-hmm.
if it had been, you know, up to the fans, they would have brought in another Chris Redman, another Trent Dilfer, another who else did the Ravens have gone? Oh, Elvis Gerbach. Have you.
Mm-hmm.
But they made the – they said, look, okay, he didn't play so well. But he also damn near pulled off an upset late, you know.
with the chance to win in the last 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it came up a little short. But, see, instead of looking at that as the final chapter, that was actually the beginning of the story. Right then and there. Because they made up their mind, okay, we know, you know. Remember, it was only a small sample by midseason. Remember, he took over midseason last year, and they won the division. That's him. You know, again, people keep forgetting they won the division with him playing a half a season. So.
Yep.
And again, the organization recognized that fact because they
mm-hmm.
went out and made the commitment to him. And that's the thing. Most black quarterbacks don't get that.
That's
Who,
right.
You know, how would history have been written if Jefferson Street Joe had been allowed to finish
you
out?
Read my mind.
Oh,
Lord.
He'd be a superstar right now.
Doug Williams probably would have won his first Super Bowl a hell of a lot sooner if Tampa Bay had just paid him and put some weapons around him instead of letting him go to the USFL. You know, how would things have changed if Gary Anderson makes the damn field goal and they go on and the Vikings go
no
on?
No shit, yep.
You know, I mean, there's so many instances in regards to black quarterbacks involved in this. And that's what makes Lamar's story all the more better, because in this fantasy, fantasy football type whatever, he would have, you know, he wouldn't have been given that opportunity. But you know,
that's true.
I guess we can credit the lasting impressions of Ozzie Newsome for allowing him to be given
mm-hmm.
the opportunity, because, you know, again, you know, we talk about the Brady six or whatever, but how about the Lamar five? You know,
hello, the Jackson five, literally.
The Jackson five, literally. You can help
mm-hmm.
You could even throw Tito in there just to add. but that's the thing. It's all we've ever talked about over the years in regards
mm-hmm.
to this is to be given the opportunity. That's
sure.
all.
Yeah.
That's all.
That is all.
And it's very appropriate that, you know, in this 100th year anniversary of how
mm-hmm.
teams, about franchises, fortunes may have changed if someone
mm-hmm.
was given, you know, the opportunity. Because think about it.
Well, it comes down to, it comes down to it's not black, it's not white, it's green. Today, they moved the New Year game to a night game.
I'm surprised. They're doing something weird because you got the two AFC games today and the two NFC games tomorrow. That's the first time that
yeah, that is
them.
Weird. That's usually one and one.
For the wild card. They usually
right.
split them up. Now,
yeah.
the fact that they're having both AFC games today is interesting. But now,
mm-hmm.
After today, we'll know, who's going to play Baltimore. Because, basically I think if the Titans do what we're all hoping and praying that they do.
Exactly.
I think they'll
play
Baltimore.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
And, but yeah, it's look, I'm trying to have a somewhat open mind about this. But, yeah, I like I said, Wednesday night, I'll believe it. I'll believe it when I see it, because they still want to push the Patriots. They still do.
That's right.
League,
This morning, the KNBR Sports Network, they had 2 hours, two complete hours of play. I think you guys are gonna be crazy. 2 hours of.
Yes.
What are you doing, Gareth?
That's the time when you go to YouTube or go to someplace. Cause see, you know what they're gonna do. Cause see, I don't do the pre or post game shows anymore unless I'm at work, and when I have to, whatever. But no, you can't, because especially in the NFL. Everybody regurgitates the same bullshit. No one tries. They don't even try to whatever. Everyone stands.
They really don't.
And especially with the Patriots, because people, it's funny. They're probably saying more about what we're saying in the sense of I'll believe it when I see it. Now,
yes.
Let's put it this way. It's very simple for Tennessee today, If Derrick Henry doesn't have at the very least 25 carries today, they're going to get beat.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee is very comfortable running their offense. Yes, they will run and not just give up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And their defense has been okay. It's not put it this way, they say 85 Bears, nobody is.
Right.
But it's not the 1980 Chargers either. So it's respectable. So if they just play their game, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. When I heard JJ Watt was gonna play, I actually favor Buffalo now. I hate to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Only because J.J. Watt's not going to be a factor.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. Watt's not going to be a factor.
If your defense plays well, you will be in the game. If your defense stinks, you're gone.
I always consider this time of the year sort of like the NBA in the sense of it's a possession by possession. Now, if one of the other teams jump on the other team's throat and is up big early, but you very rarely see that in a lot of these playoff games because these are supposedly the best players. Although the last time the Patriots got beat at home in the playoff game, ironically, it was the Ravens that jumped on them quick and took them out. So it's going to be interesting. I think with the playoff, I think especially with the wild card, you're going to get a mixed bag. You know, at least one road team is going to win. If I had to put my money on it, I would put it all on Seattle because they've had that road warrior mentality. I personally think the Saints are going to just pee all over the Vikings. I don't see it, you know, cause, and then Kirk Cousins is a potato chip away is from throwing at least 4 or 5 interceptions. And
you're right. He's the little girl with the little curl. When he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's like fucking
and even,
home.
And even she slapped the shit out of him a couple of times after.
Oh,
a few
hell
days.
Yeah. You know she did. Yes, but we got Radio Reggie in the mix as well. Chime in. Happy 2020.
Gentlemen.
Reggie, can you hear us?
Gentlemen, can you hear me? Black
what's up,
people.
What's
black
up,
people. It's so good to be around true black men, damn it. And I do mean that. It's good around 2019. I left some troublemakers behind, and I moved forward. I'm like you said, I'm not going to be accurate for a goddamn person. I got to be cussing in 2020. I'm not going
to
waste my time with the past. We're moving forward. I got the Mac himself, T-Mac. Are you in the house, my brother?
I'm here, man. I'm here.
And my man, G, running on the Sixers. Gentlemen, again, thank you for allowing me to be in the room with Nazarene Brothers and Warriors and Deacons for Defensive Justice. Thank you so much. I'm saying it right now. Gentlemen, I have to say thank you for being true. Thank you for being unapologetic black. And thank you for your knowledge for the uplift of the community. Because, again, some out there might think money is better than the community, but I'm saying point blank that, hey, I'm riding with the people, and before I sell out, I get the hell out. So, gentlemen, thank you for allowing me to come in. But do you know that Fuller is not playing a wide receiver for Houston? He's out. Now,
oh,
that's
Fuller,
a big loss. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, already broken the wire.
As long as Hopkins, they still got Hopkins. So
yeah, they still got Hopkins.
I don't know. But my issue is that Fuller was that 1-2 punch with Hopkins. Anytime you lose one of your receivers, and look who the defense coordinator is for the Bills, Leslie Frazier, which, by the way, how in the ham sandwich, this brother not getting no love, man. I get sick and fucking tired. And Mike, you got me cussing again, man. 2002.
Blame the black guy.
Now, here it is. This brother, every time when I hear the announcer, including Tony Romo, the hand-picked clown himself from Dallas, I was referred to as the head coach as being the defensive coordinator and the defensive mind. Leslie Frazier has forgotten more about defenses pinky than that clown ever would know. And
that's true.
And get this down. I got to say this, T-Mac. I got to say this way. Jerry A.K. Madam to bring Marvin Lewis in on an interview today is a fucking disgrace. Now, you know damn well if Marvin Lewis was to get that job, it'd be like Archie on the sideline aging as we see him. And I'd be like, if you want to go work for Django, if you want to go work for the slave master, go right ahead. But I'd be damn if I was going to interview with that piece of shit.
Here's the real question. Has he formally fired this guy yet?
No.
He's got till January 15th.
And Jerry Craig doesn't try to keep him.
Well, see, again, much like with the Patriots, I believe it when I hear him say, because see, this whole thing of we've mutually agreed to part ways, that doesn't mean shit to me. That just means they're not going to meet at Chick-fil-A on Saturday. That's all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Until I hear the sentence Jason Garrett fired, I'm gonna be like, this is
those Cowboys will not win a Super Bowl as long as Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, maybe with the Oakland Raiders.
Gary, you gotta remember, you gotta put an amendment on that. Yeah, we got to remember something. He already won one, and that's the problem. See, what I'm saying? The Jimmy Johnson stuff aside, Reggie, he won one with that idiot from Oklahoma. So now you can't tell Jerry nothing. Jerry thinks he's ahead of the curve because he already has one.
And we know damn well.
Let's be real here. You let a coach
Did he say 10 years?
I believe.
Yeah.
I believe it's nine.
Actually, nine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give or take a
it
month
feels,
here and there.
It feels this way. It feels like 10 because it's been dog years. That's probably a
lot. Hey, T, actually, dog years would be about 40. but I gotta say this, guy. When it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, anybody that take that job is an idiot or either a damn fool. Because, number one, Jerry has a fucking press conference before the game, after the game, and during the game. He has a press conference during the radio week. They come to him, you know, the injury report, and the stats of the players. But enough of fucking talking about that that cracker team with Donald Trump.
So, to hell with them.
I don't give a damn what they do.
So you're saying Jerry Jones has a bit of an ego?
I think Ron View was a good hire. I like that hire myself. I like that.
Please wait. If you know what, I believe Ron Rivera will be the next Buford Pusser because I think he may have to just carry a bat on the sidelines and tell Dan Snyder. Sit the hell down, little man. You may run the team, but you may own the team, but I'm running the team.
Yep. Just sit back, count your money, and shut the fuck up.
Well, put it this
way. Let us handle this.
Put it this way. Much like when he was there before, he inherits a good first round quarterback.
Yes,
again,
he does.
Now, because see, here's the thing. If there's anybody who could possibly become next year's Lamar Jackson. It's him because if they try to sell Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, Sonny Jurgensen, if they're still gonna try to sell the fans, because see, I give the Washington D.C. football fans credit.
Yes, sir.
They have spoken, and they are saying, "Hell no, we won't go."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To these games. So they're going to now see. I hope that they don't do what they usually do is they'll go out and sign a bunch of free agents past their prime, and
he
learned this time. He ain't doing that this time.
But see, Reggie's right, because Lamar Jackson has taught everybody a well-deserved lesson. He's down there in Baltimore now.
Hey, Mike, this Apollon is saying, I have sinned, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have sinned, for real. Baltimore has taught the league a lesson, because now we know back in the 50s, they had one of the most loyal fan bases ever. They even had their own. The Baltimore Colts even had their own band. They've done movies about being Baltimore Colt fans. And then when that son of a bitch Ursi did what he did, like a thief in the night, and stole his way over to Indianapolis, they never forgot that. Now Baltimore has its own identity again with the Ravens, and as sure as you can say, Edgar Allen and Poe. Now they've got their identity, their pedigree. Jackson is going to be there for at least 5 years of being not only in the Super Bowl competition, we are sitting at the top of it because they're not going to find a way to properly defend him. And if somehow they do hurt him, Robert Griffin III is the perfect backup for him. They are locked. They run the ball, and as Tony was alluding about Tennessee, if Tennessee does what they're supposed to do, Tom Brady will be standing on that sideline pissed as a motherfucker because they will eat
him.
They will be eating up clock, and there will be nothing that they can do to stop them.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Team Bank, have you noticed Tom Brady taking a lot more ass whoopings behind that line lately? And referees ain't blowing a whistle for him.
There's only so much ass cover. Let's put it this way. Even Lady Godiva never got her ass covered as much as Tom Brady has.
I gotta write that down. damn, T. Lady Gazelle never got her ass covered this much. Okay, continue, T. I had to write that down.
But at some point, you got to know. The bills, let's put this way, the bills that have accumulated over the years with the Patriots are way past due. It's way past due. You can't
write a lot of checks.
You can't. I'm just saying, you can't. You know, this way, at least we know why Kraft was going for a massage, because he's tired of all. He's tired of all the ass whoopings that's been going on.
He got a Hummer, baby. He got a Hummer.
Now we know why that old Patriot logo was always smiling like a fool.
You want another question, John? Hey, the quote that came from philosopher Buddy Hackett, you need another wax job.
No question.
I think that's what makes this one. I think we mentioned another night. Baltimore is prohibitive favorites because they have the best record. But
they fucking earned it. Yeah. 15-2 is no joke.
Exactly. and even the two that they lost, I mean, you know, except you know, I guess
competitive.
The Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Browns game, they just, you know, that was one of the few times where they fell behind early. And give the Browns credit, that was probably the last decent time. You know, now, unfortunately for the Browns, it was the last time Nick Chubb actually got the ball handed to him. And how about that?
Yeah.
And where are the Browns now? Coachless and general managerless.
Well, they should be owners. Haslam.
The owner's the problem.
Haslam is basically a poor man's version of Jerry Jones. To be honest with you, you know, I get it with Kitchens, because it appears that he just, you know, was just a stopgap, whatever. But
right,
I'm kind of surprised with Dorsey, only because, you know, you really can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit. When you put all your eggs in Baker Mayfield, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. But see, here's
you
the
get
thing.
A rotten fucking omelet. That's what you get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And shitty with a big
slice of cheese.
Mm-hmm. But see, here's
what was
the
that
thing.
Cheese?
Yeah.
He's digging.
Thing. Whoever comes in there, what they basically got to do, to go back to what Mike said, there are some pieces there. You know, you've got some good pieces on defense, and you've
mm-hmm.
got, if you know, and it depends on these things. You know, we don't know if Miss Prissy actually wants to stay or leave.
Yeah.
Him and
Landry. See, if nothing else, you got to keep them so you can have some semblance of offense. Him and Chubb. They have the makings of a triplet, but unfortunately, they're a quarterback shy of it. So,
thank you. He's so busy.
Because the boy shit. That's
I'm
right.
You, didn't say it with gusto.
You
bro.
Know what
I mean. I
need
it. I need it.
Say
it like you mean it, son.
You
red,
know
red,
it.
Red,
but then,
red,
you know,
red,
to Tony's point.
This man is under concussion protocol, because, see, I don't want him to have
exactly. I don't want to hurt my head until next year.
I don't want this man to have an aneurysm on the air, you know?
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Mike is a cash cow.
Let's not overlook Tony's point, because he's not Jerry Jones in terms of being acerbic or annoying or just trying to hog the spotlight. But Jimmy Haslam is just as fucking bad. He has been looking for a great white hope forever. Remember?
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel. And all that nonsense and stuff like that. And I wouldn't even go further than that. I'll go back to Tim Couch. Tim Couch, all of that. I mean, he allowed Philadelphia to be successful, because Philly was going to take Couch if McNabb had been taken with the first pick. The fact that they took Couch and Philly took McNabb changed the directions of both franchises. Philly actually became a winning team because of McNabb, whether you loved him or hated him. Couch, mm-hmm. Tim Couch was awful. And then Johnny Manziel came in, and he was awful. And now Baker Mayfield has come in, and we have the hat trick because his ass is awful. All those motherfuckers ain't shit, but I digress.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I know you're in protocol, but I love the way it rolled off your tongue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Now, stop me if I'm wrong. I want to say since the Browns came back from the dead in
99.
Yep. Just dead. Really. Even Lazarus has said, you know, that's a terrible impression.
I hate you guys. I'm so fucking jealous. Y'all having too much fun. I'm so fucking jealous.
But think about this. They've almost gone through 36 quarterbacks since 99.
Yeah. That's right.
About that.
That's a lot of fucking quarterbacks.
That's what I'm saying. You know?
That's a lot of offensive coordinators, too.
Well,
yeah,
remember,
that's true.
The very first coach was this, you know, offensive guru, Chris Palmer. I think he still gets the shakes at night after those first few seasons.
You ain't lying.
That's
true. You know? Mm-hmm. That's exactly true.
Guys, real quick, y'all remember Jason Campbell with the birdie and go? That poor man had about 5 or 6 different offensive coordinators. Every time he went back to pass, he got his ass popped. I feel sorry for that.
Oh, you ain't lying.
See
they,
him
beat,
no more.
They beat Jason Campbell down to the white meat. But I digress.
Hey, no, they beat him down to the bone marrow. They beat his ass.
Oh, fuck
yeah. Down to the bone marrow.
Put it this way. When he began his career, he was 6'5", maybe like 230.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that shit is funny.
He's basically Willie Loman now.
He's beating his ass like a runaway slave.
Uh-huh.
He said he chopped his foot off and cut his arm.
To examine the extent of the Browns' problem is the real issue with what the NFL has been and what they're saying they're not now, because the 100 years and John Facenda and all this other shit it don't exist in Cleveland. You know, it hasn't existed in Cleveland for a long time, and they don't care. Because the damn stupid ass fans and dog pound too busy asking for bones and shit. They're not worried about the team winning.
Man, he's a dog busy. There's still something wrong with them.
Exactly. I mean, the Browns can be summed up in one thing. I was at the Pro Bowl in '97, the motherfucker who called himself the Big Dog, the Cleveland Browns fan with the dog mask and his '98 jersey. Ain't carrying a fucking bone. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? At least the Black Hole fans have some class. You know, I like the Black Hole style.
How
they dress up and shit.
And urinate on you.
Exactly. You got this fat motherfucker walking around with a big-ass bone and a dog mask. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Get a fucking life, for Christ's sakes. And Cleveland,
show you what he's about.
And Cleveland's fans have been accepting less. They want to make Baker Mayfield out to be a franchise quarterback. Baker Mayfield is fucking awful. And I don't say that because he's a cocky little shit. I'm saying that because if you look at the film, okay, he can throw an accurate pass every now and then, but he is no Brian Sike. I mean, Sike really was a mechanic.
A
he was a great quarterback who was working with less than available talent. You know, he worked those teams like he did, and he played well. Baker Mayfield doesn't have that in his DNA. If he's a front runner. If they go up, on top of somebody 14-0, 17-0.
Johnny Manziel,
you know what? Johnny Manziel can't even kiss Baker Mayfield's left nut. Mayfield, if he got on top 14-0 or something like that, then Cleveland was going to coast. They'd be in a good position because they didn't have to come from behind. Baker Mayfield got exposed. Yeah. Because everybody sees his flaws. He thinks he's Brett Favre. And, you know, Brett Favre had his flaws, but Brett Favre had an arm to make up for some of his mistakes. Baker Mayfield does not have that kind of arm. And even though they try to dump this on Russell, Baker Mayfield ain't even 6 feet. And he does not know how to throw in lanes like Russell Wilson does.
Hey, Mike, I got to say this. Once again, NFL Naturals has stole and been trolling your show and T-Mac's show for years. And it's interesting now that when Russell Wilson first hit the scene, the first thing we called on your show was General Wilson. All of a sudden, here's the mouse comes out eating cheese, and Gary pointed out General Wilson. Now, all of a sudden, you would think that all the pundits in the NFL were thinking that Russell Wilson was next coming a Warren Moon or, dare I say, Box Star.
Russell Wilson was the leader.
Okay. This is about 3 years ago. Oh, Jerry Wilson. I remember that shit. Trent Dilfer, that motherfucker. I remember Trent Dilfer going on fucking TV nationwide on ESPN talking about how Russell Wilson is the field general. I'm like, you lying motherfucker. You stole that shit from us.
You stole that shit. Ain't nobody said before. And after y'all said that, all of a sudden it's General Wilson. I dropped my fucking food. I said, what the hell? I said, the bastard stole the shit again from the brothers. They stole the fucking telephone, they stole the light. They stole the drill cord when it came to lubricating the old engines for the trains, and now they stole the phrase of General Wilson. I said, unreal. But you wrote over the years, T, they stole so much of your shit. Sometimes I think it's Black Happy Sports Network on TV. I'm like, really?
Ironically, the one time they did say it, it was on a piece that Travis put out. And Travis scooped everybody, and they had to give credit to Black Athletes Sports Network, which I know must have rankled their ass. But think about all the time that we put in work and put all this stuff out here, you know, and because of it, it only makes them look bad because, well, you're upset that a company with 5 or 6 hardworking brothers and a couple females came in there and scooped all you motherfuckers.
The worldwide leader.
Watch your language because we got a lady in the room. And Sonic Show has come into the fray.
Show, can you hear us? Hello, beautiful.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, Queen. The Queen is in the house. All hail the Queen.
Oh, thank you, guys. You make me feel so great.
Oh, God, I love that voice. So, what you want married? I want married. We both be married.
Get in trouble, man.
I'm sorry.
Before we do anything else, Cheryl, let's get the report from the field. What's the likelihood that the Eagles will do work tomorrow afternoon? Tomorrow evening.
No, the question is how many people going to show up with all them injuries they got.
We've always been the underdog.
Yes.
And when we're in a pinch, we come out. And then we did get some players, key players back playing on Sunday. So we're going to whoop that Seahawks
ass. Y'all going to pluck that Seahawks feathers, huh?
I made some bets on it.
Oh, Lord. You're gone with your sexy. Hey, Cheryl, real quick. I know we're talking sports, but what's the climate up there as far as the political climate? Because, you know, y'all been having some serious issues with some people in city councils and government. What's going on lately?
I mean, you know, they're trying to. We're winning seats here up this end. Democrat seats and stuff. We're winning seats. Our what's the name is Democratic. Republican has never been Republican. They're really on the election about, you know, Penn Steel and votes and stuff and win in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has never been a red state.
Yeah.
The reason why he won is because people didn't get out and vote because they didn't like Hillary, which
hey,
would have been the better of the two.
Right, but what about cross-check where they take names off the list? Have y'all had a problem with that? Because that's a problem we have in Virginia.
No, we haven't had any problem. No.
So they're not purging those names off the voter list.
And if your name is not on the list, they have something that they do so that you can still vote. You just have your ID with you.
Good.
We haven't had any problems with people on the list, especially where my mom works in polls and where I vote at. We always have a really good turnout all the time for all the elections.
Good.
And people are realizing that you not only do you need your Senate, you need your House, State Representative House, which we got that. And at the rate these damn Republicans are going, and this asshole that went over there and dropped the bomb on Iran, people can
Oh,
boy,
yeah.
Yeah, he assassinated one of them generals.
And he did not go through Congress to do it. Obama, when he went after Bin Laden, went through the Congress and got their blessing.
Yeah.
Things because he killed this guy. Oh, this. And the thing about me, this asshole don't even know how to. He was a very, very bad man. He talks like a fucking 3-year old. And he's
you know what? None of you know what?
Because he is a 3-year old.
Show yourself back. I love it.
I'm 3-year old to talk, but he was bad man. And he killed a lot of people. You don't even know that because you're so damn stupid.
Bring that Philly language out, Cheryl. Bring that language from Jersey and Philly. Bring it out, baby.
You don't know. You want that to represent us. That's the president of the United States. Everything you did was very, very bad man. Or that great person. This damn bitch is full from China and told him I got a surprise for you.
Cheryl, you know what? You hit it right on the head. He talks like a fucking kid. He really does. He talks like a juvenile. I mean, when he's saying the shit that he's saying.
Captain Bumper,
what are you doing?
A child talks like that. That's not how a grown man articulates. That man doesn't
He's a very bad man.
He doesn't even know how to articulate, but this is what's representing the United States. And you Republicans don't see nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
he can't even talk like
hear that, Lindsey Graham?
Somebody throw that out in the air.
Look, all of this shit. Hold on, guys, because all this shit started about 3 years ago, and we can never figure
out. Video you're about to see is in no form or fashion degrading any women. We only repeat what Donald Trump said. We feel like this. Vote for Hillary Clinton.
And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy.
Oh, don't vote for Donald. He will grab you by the pussy. He will grab you by the pussy. You stop it. Grab you by the pussy. He will grab you by the pussy.
Talking to you now, lady.
Grab you by the pussy. Grab you by the pussy.
Don't vote for him, you
grab you by the pussy. Grab you by the pussy.
I love that. Sure, I ain't had nothing to do with that, sure.
Well, it's true.
Mike did it. I had nothing to do with that.
Yes, I know. Blame the black guy. But you know, I don't want to stay on Trump's ass because I want to get back to baseball here. But we have to make the point about this. This is what happens when you don't vote. I mean, we always talk about how when situations happen in sports and stuff like that, other things come about because of the result. Nobody voted. And when you sat on your ass, this is what the fuck you got. And it has affected everybody for 3+ years now. And now in 2020, if you don't get off your ass and vote now, sad on you, whatever, black, brown, yellow, white, blue, whatever the fuck, fucking vote.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that's going to stop this fucking thing from going full-blown fascist. That's the straight
Mike,
up truth.
I know, Mike, I'm the fly in the ointment on this, but in my humble opinion, the Democrats got to get out here and put money into voter registration, in my opinion. Democrats got to get out here and start spending money in the black community. They need to start buying buttons, need to start buying prints for machines. Cheryl, I know a bunch of people out there, I'm sure, they are entrepreneurs. The Democrats need to get all that money, them billions of dollars they've been spending. They need to start putting up money into the black community
to
buy posters.
They're not doing that.
No, they're not doing that yet. You know, they haven't
said
who's going to run. So I think the only, and I hate to say it, the only winning ticket at this point would be Biden and Kamala Harris. And I'm not crazy about Kamala Harris. Because
I think Harris is going to be co-opted.
But she will get the black women vote.
She won't get the black men vote either. She did her own dirty end. But I wanna go back to baseball here for a hot second because we have to recognize Don Larsen, who pitched a perfect game in the World Series. Now, somebody might say that that's his only claim to fame, like that's saying James Brown can sing a little bit. But, Tony, Larsen only used 97 pitches in taking down the opposition in that game. And Pee Wee Reese was the only guy who got to a three-ball count on him. It's been years. He's long gone, but it's a signature moment, and we have to recognize that.
Well, on top of that, again, if you, you know, it's ironic because MLB Network is actually showing that game today in celebration of his life. If you've ever had the chance to actually watch that game. It's what pitching is all about. Throw the ball, throw strikes, get the hell off the field. You know, not this beating around the bush and throwing waste pitches. And if he was going to get beat that day, he was going to get beat by his best pitch, not his worst pitch.
Right.
Now, with a perfect game, and, you know, the stars have to be aligned, everything has to be perfect and everything like that. But because it was the World Series and everything like that, that's why we remember it. A little bit more. But, you know, it's funny. to me, you would think that kids or whatever that's growing up would have maybe looked at that game and said, you know, I like to pitch. I'd like to be able to pitch like that. But unfortunately now it's still about, you know, being able to throw 100 miles an hour and being able to blow guys away. You know, Larsen and so many other pitchers over the years have proven that you don't have to have, you know, it's nice. I mean, it's great to have it, but you don't necessarily have to have the quote-unquote great stuff to be able
it's
to
true.
Pitch the way he did. And, you know, now Larsen throughout most of his career, you know, 500 pitcher. And, you know, that's what usually happens when you have magical moments like that. A guy that, you know, And again, everything is magnified because it's the World Series.
Yeah.
You know. So you give him his due and you honor and again, you would have think after all these years that other pitchers along the way would have taken that blueprint and went to ride with it, but unfortunately, we're in this age of with all sorts of, you know, trajectory and velocity and wanting to impress the scouts with the jugs gun and everything like that. And I get that, but there's a lot to be said, you know, there's always going to be a lot to be said in the simpleness of what Larsen was able to do that day.
Oh, I agree. Ironically, the only other perfect game that I heard of was the one I saw. And that was in the 60s when Jim Bunning pitched the perfect game against your Mets. The funny thing about it was the game started off slow, and we were just watching it because the Phillies were winning games and stuff like that, and the Mets obviously were the Mets. But my mother was kind of half paying attention. My mother's the real baseball fan, Shaq. She was a pitcher herself back in the day. So as the game is building momentum, Now she went from cooking dinner to sitting down and watching the game with me. And everybody ended up watching the game by the time he struck out Stevenson, who was the pinch hitter, and got the perfect game. It, the achievements in sports are like the achievements in life. But whether it's an individual or a team thing, we see the resonance of that. You know, Budding used that to become a politician. He was elected as a senator in his home state of Kentucky. He was known more for pitching the perfect game than he was for putting through legislation, which ain't no surprise with that turtleneck motherfucker McConnell in the House. But we know that the actions of athletes, of sportsmen and sportswomen state so much about what our society can be. And I refer to Simone Biles, who had probably the greatest individual season of any gymnast ever. I mean, ever. And we didn't recognize just how great she was. And we all knew she was a badass, but nobody said she was this big a badass. She should be athlete of the year. And you can make an argument about her being athlete of the decade.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was the female athlete of the year. And see, here's the thing. We got one. Mm-hmm. She's got one more Olympics coming up this year in Tokyo. So
that's right.
There's still more. There's still more that she can do. I'm gonna have to get out of here right quick. But I think, you know, as we're going into this year, I'm looking forward to seeing what she's gonna be able to do in Tokyo.
Most definitely.
Now I also hope that we're all still above ground. But by the time we get to the Tokyo
Olympics,
you ain't lying.
Considering what has and what could possibly happen over the next, 24 to 72 hours. But
you're right.
Simone, now you could make the argument for Simone for the decade, but it's probably going to have to be the upcoming decade because, Serena, took it to a whole other level.
That's right, she did.
But guys and gals, I gotta get going, and
sir.
I just wanted to make sure I was able to jump in, and I'm also trying to finish up a article on who we lost in 2019 as well.
Yeah.
And hopefully, it'll be up on the
email it to me,
site.
T.
Sure.
I got to go. All right.
Yep.
Give us a preview of the code, G.
We're going to do the AML bridge, the bridge name.
Top of the hour, 4 o'clock on the cold. Talk to you later, my brother. You can sit in the queue as we finish up here because I want to go back to Cheryl. Cheryl, you've seen the dominance of Simone Biles and how great she was and how great she is. We've seen the dominance of Serena, how great she was. Now, as we look forward to the next year and whatnot, Tony made the point about the Olympics. Everybody knows that Simone Biles is the best at what she does on the planet. And no black female athlete has had that established. Because I won't say Serena because they wouldn't acknowledge that Serena was the best. But they know Simone Biles is clearly heads and shoulders above everyone else in her chosen sport. What does that say about the progress of sports here? Especially in a sport like gymnastics where sisters have slowly come in and started to make an impact.
First of all, let's face it. Let's be real about it. Only a white girl is supposed to be able to do that. Just like only a white girl was supposed to dominate in tennis and the Williams sisters dominated for 15 fucking years. Ass and took names. And no, they're not going to give Serena the props that she do because she was the best. She was number one ranked for fucking 5 years in a fucking row. And they're not going to give her props because they're always looking for the great white hope. Same thing with gymnastics. They're going to try to align smile with somebody white and say the white girl and she's up. But they don't have any anybody.
They don't.
Right, coming out as good as her. They don't.
Mm-hmm. No,
they
you're
don't.
Right. They don't.
So they're going to try to surround her with some white girls and say,
mm-hmm.
They're not going to make her the main attraction. They're just not.
Yeah.
They haven't made those strides yet to this day.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. And it's sad because she deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
She deserves it.
Yeah. She does. She most definitely deserves it. And you know, Reggie, we've seen the Simone Bileses and the Serena Williams and whatnot perform and excel, and it's always the butt. You would think with the brothers it's bad enough, but with the sisters, it's still the butt.
Yo, you know
Simone
that.
Biles has
like
won six titles in a row, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's always something to say, well, she hasn't done this yet. She's done everything. All the great ones before her, Olga Corbett, Nadia Comaneci, Mary Lou Retton, all of them. She's kicked their ass. But yet they still don't recognize.
Of course. And let's not forget.
You know
what? Yeah, and real quick, show. Let's not forget when her brother got into a situation, they tried to tie her to that. Let's not forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not going to give her a problem. It's just like with Serena. When that judge said she was cheap, she should have never been able to referee another fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
If black, he's still refereeing. He shouldn't have had no fucking job. Because that woman
yeah.
wasn't cheating. You were cheating her.
Mm-hmm.
You took a point from her to get to that little young girl who won. And Serena was gracious enough.
Mm-hmm.
To not hold it against this girl and say, don't rule, you know, class and give her props. She won. But let's say
mm-hmm.
she won fairly. She didn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She didn't win fairly. Serena
mm-hmm.
had it. She didn't
yeah.
win fairly.
No, they were mm-hmm. trying to break their record.
And
they
that judge should never be
record.
Able to referee another fucking tennis match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget what it did to Venus.
On a court. In front of every fucking body.
And that's how
mm-hmm.
good they did to Venus. They did a car wreck. They made sure that they put out front that Venus was at fault. When the truth came out, the white folks that hit her were at fault. But they
yeah.
didn't have to say shit about that.
Well, of course not.
No. And we also have to remember that Venus and Serena, when they retire, are going to be in the most favorable of positions.
Mm-hmm.
They will have the flexibility.
Yes.
They will have the flexibility that comes with winning. And remember, Venus was the one who fought to make sure that women got equal purses on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
She and Serena can do any. They can do anything they want, and that flies in the face, and it also pisses off the Chris Evans of the world, who try to criticize them, and people like Jennifer Capriati. Who got pimped out by her fucking parents. They turned her into a fucking drug addict because they were pimping off her career. Now, to Capriati's credit, she came back and she could play a little bit, but all her talent during that time where she should have been in her peak was sapped away by her parents. And the fact that she couldn't handle being J-Cap instead of Jennifer Capriati. The Williams women have been stalwart in making sure they had their priorities correct.
Right.
You know, Richard and Orsine, regardless of whether their marriage was stable or not, they always supported the girls and they gave them a safe place
what
to land.
Yeah.
Exactly. They had people
and
who backed them up.
And now that they have pissed off Serena, oh, they've
mm-hmm.
got something to contend with because she's not going to let it happen to another sister. Her nor
no.
her sister. Oh, they're going to go
no.
after them. Oh, they're going to have a seat at the table. And shit going
oh, yeah.
to change.
Oh, yeah.
shit
and
definitely going to change.
That's
you know?
A great point, Cheryl.
So
because
she got a little
yeah.
bit of money behind her, and Serena's husband got some money behind him. She's not
yeah.
going to let it happen to another sister.
And this is
believe.
this is important.
Off, so.
This
they're
is important because they got
to
protect the new ones coming up. They got to protect
yep.
Osaka from Japan, who is a sister. They got to
yep.
protect Madison Keys, Sloane Stephens,
yep.
even though I don't like Sloane's attitude.
towards Serena. She's still a sister, and they're going to get protection.
You know
what? They're going to get some backup.
Michael, her attitude is bad because she's young, but she'll learn.
She'll
learn.
Yeah, she's jealous. I'm like, why are you jealous?
She'll learn.
That's what I don't get.
She's going to have to bow down to the queen and ask for fucking help.
Yeah.
That's what I never understood, Cheryl. Why is she jealous?
Hey, Mike.
She's jealous.
Is Rivera, is he a Mexican, the new coach of the Burgundy Gold? Watch football.
He's Latino, yes. He's Latino.
I knew he was Latino. So we got a brother
coaching
in Washington, right?
That's right. Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And the thing about Rivera is we already know he was behind Cam all the way, and he let Cam use his talents to benefit everybody, as Reggie bumped off there for a second. And he'll do the same with Haskins because he already knows Haskins has the talent. It'll just be a matter of whether or not they can formulate it. But the hit back to what you said, Cheryl, you know, many times in individual sports like tennis, it's all about your support group, who you have looking out for your interests. You know, Capriati didn't have people looking out for her. They had people leeching off of her. You know, with Serena and Venus there, you know, Coco Gauff, Naomi Osaka, Madison Keys, Sloane Stephens, whether she wants it or not, they're all going to be there to provide positive reinforcement for them. And that's real important because the game of tennis needs those sisters. They need them to be successful. They can't do what they do. I mean, when Venus and Serena were not in the tournament, attendance went down significantly. I mean, TV viewers. You know, but when they were on, everybody and their mama was watching because they either wanted to see them get beat or they wanted them to beat somebody's ass. And more often than not, it was the latter.
Yep. They was hoping the great white hope would come from somewhere, and they ain't got it. And the young lady that you said that had such a bad attitude, she's going to learn.
Yeah.
She's got a bad attitude. That's not the way you go in. Those girls always carried themselves with grace and class, and they never, never downrated or talked bad about another sister coming up in tennis.
That's true. That is very true. And we have to.
Does she think that her attitude's going to get her 2 points and she's going to move to the head of the line faster? No, it's not. It's going to close doors to her because ain't nobody going to be bothered with that attitude.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
She'll wake up because she'll want something that she won't be able to get in. And they'll be like, oh, remember how you were about Serena and your attitude and this and this and that? Well, we don't want to be a financial support for you. You need to have some grace and some class with yourself. You don't downcrowd another sister. You don't do
there
that.
You go.
Not in that kind of sport.
No,
not
and
that kind
as
of
we,
and she hasn't learned yet, because as fast as God give it to you, he can take it away from you.
That is so true, and you know, we're a few days away from the first major with the Australian Open, and that has always been a tournament that Serena has excelled in. She seems to really like that,
so
just like Venus used to like playing at Wimbledon. So it'll be intriguing to see whether or not down under, where Margaret Court has won the most tournaments, the most majors, Serena. If she can get that one to tie, that would be a great thing. But even if she doesn't, I don't want it dismissed that, well, she wasn't as good as Court. Court never ran up on the competition or the level of competition that Serena did. And that's not to dismiss her. She's a great champion. But when you're playing at the levels that Serena was playing with and how she had to reflect and deflect all those great players, and she's still getting down, you know, it's a lot to be taken in, but we cannot forget that because, especially in America, we tend to eat up our heroes. You know, I mean, like, but devour them in a negative way. The press, like the Australian reporter did when he drew that cartoon of Serena having a temper tantrum and she's all chubby stomping on the racket and stuff like that. You know, it's the height of jealousy. And I've been in enough locker rooms, I've been in enough press boxes to know when somebody is writing the account of what happened, and when somebody is getting their dig in because they don't like the guy or they don't like the girl that they're talking about, you know, regarding how they perform. And the Williams women, for everything they've done, the American press has never really been in their corner.
No, they didn't like them because they couldn't believe they could have the reign that they had. They dominated one, the other one. They already
right.
won in the doubles. They whooped
yep.
ass in the doubles. Oh,
they did.
God. They whooped
right.
ass, and you don't hear about that. How many doubles did they win? All lot of them.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, Cheryl, on at least five occasions, Serena and Venus Williams beat the number one doubles combination at some point on their way to a championship. And remember, they were supposed to be ranked number one themselves, but the tennis officials said, well, they hadn't played together enough to earn that. But every time a number one combo came up, the Williams women whooped that ass, and that cannot be dismissed. We're talking total dominance for at least a decade. And the American tennis intelligentsia didn't even bother to say thank you.
Nope. Nope. 10 years, they sure did whooped ass in them doubles all the time. And I'm like, why don't they get props for that? But then when you sit down and analyze it, you know why. Because they...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's switch up and dig and get back to this weekend with our Eagles. And the possibility they're going up against a great quarterback in Russell Wilson. Looks like some people are coming back, Cheryl. But it seems like Carson Wentz hasn't done it yet. Now, we know Nick Foles has done the damage and he won and all that stuff, but he has yet to beat a world-class quarterback. So this, I think, is the game that's going to decide whether or not he's worth keeping or get his ass the fuck out of Philly. How do you see it?
Well, you know, we don't let go of these broken up players like we should. So, like, you
yeah.
know.
That's true.
He is the franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the test of whether or not he can get it done because Foles and Sweat and these
yep.
kind of games, he is excelled in them.
Mm-hmm.
When he's
yep.
going to have to prove his fucking self.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe he's in his stride, you know, because I done made bets he better win.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Russell Williams is a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback. If they keep up the momentum that they had last Sunday, then we'll win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll win.
It's,
if they
it's
come
interesting.
In like they did last Sunday, we'll be good.
Yeah,
we'll be able to tell by the first quarter what it's going to be.
Well, it's worth comparing because we know Nick Foles did certain things and Carson Wentz does certain things. Well, but if we were to lay the talents together back-to-back in all of this, who, in your opinion, never mind the Super Bowl, but who, in your opinion, is better equipped to run the Eagles, Foles or Wentz?
Foles.
Mm-hmm. Why? In your opinion, why?
Because he did very well under pressure. Wentz doesn't do well under pressure. If you
mm-hmm.
like how he plays, he'll throw that ball off because he don't want to get hurt. He remember he
right.
used to run that ball and he don't want that ball.
That's right. Yep.
He's
that's
afraid
right.
of being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have that mindset last Sunday. Let's hope
mm-hmm.
he still got that mindset this Sunday. And
right.
play ball. You know what I mean? But see,
I know exactly what you mean.
Foles didn't throw to one guy. He threw to anybody that was running back.
Exactly.
We only
that is
got
the key.
Two running back. Quint Wynn
mm-hmm.
keeps throwing to what's the name, and he don't
mm-hmm.
always get the damn job done. So if
no.
he not did, go to the other.
That's
damn.
Exactly right. Yeah, no, you're right. Foles
That's why we
was doing. That's right. Foles was unpredictable because he spread the ball out with the run-pass
yes,
option.
Yes, yes.
I don't
did.
Think Wentz. I don't think Wentz, even with a full complement of weapons, can do that because he's too in love with Ertz, and I don't think his vision overall looking downfield at his options is as good as Foles. Because when he's in trouble, like you said, his feet, his footwork changes up, and he's looking for 86. He's looking for Ertz. The defense is no. He's looking for Ertz. So obviously, you're not going to get the success ratio that you want.
And this is where I thought our coach, because our coach should say, look, this don't work. This is what you got to do. He didn't have to do that with Foles. But he had to retrain this and him to not look for Ertz all the damn time, because like you say, D is always on Ertz like a damn bad habit. So why would you keep going to him?
Exactly, exactly. I would hope that based on what we saw in the game against the Giants, that he learned something. And let's give props to little Boston Scott for stepping up big time and playing well. He's our new Damon. He's our new Sproles now, Cheryl, because we know he can run, he can catch, and he's a sturdy little dude. He's like 5'6", 203 pounds. So
and he tucks that damn ball.
He don't
let it get knocked out his arm and shit.
Exactly. So he's our new Darren Sproles. Sproles can retire knowing that, okay, that position is covered. And because he stuck because he was cut a couple of times, because he stuck in there and coach was smart enough to keep him on the practice roster along with Mr. Ward, the Eagles now have two solid players that they'll be able to keep in their rotation, because what has kept the Eagles successful during this time, Cheryl, is our depth. We know somebody steps off. If Cheryl's playing wide receiver and she get hurt, Danielle's going to step in, and she's going to play just as well, if not better. That is what the Eagles' pedigree has become, and that's what it needs to be. But you've got to have the right players, and I don't think Carson Wentz is the man for this team because of some of the stuff that you put out there.
I'm just hoping that he learned from last week that, you know, he got somebody else who can throw the ball to him.
Mm-hmm.
And not, because sure, it'll be perfect because they're not expecting him to throw the ball to him.
Exactly. I don't
he
think.
He gets that hand, we'll do good.
Mm-hmm. If somehow Eagles win Sunday, has he crossed the burning sands? Is he going to be salvageable? Can we keep him as our franchise quarterback if he beats Russell Wilson head up?
Mm. I think he's real lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's skill. I think it's luck.
Well, I think it's going to be some trouble ahead then, because Jacksonville's situation has deteriorated. I don't think they're going to keep Foles with all the money they put in for him. If somehow Foles becomes available and Philly brings him back, I think Carson Wentz is going to lose his bunny rabbit blinking mind, but I don't really give a shit because I think Foles is the better quarterback and the Eagles should have never let him go. Just because he paid less money for him doesn't mean he wasn't more valuable. And I think that was the other issue, Cheryl. They gave him that big-ass contract.
Yeah, he should have gave him what he was worth.
Mm-hmm.
And kept him. Because let's face it, this is the first time that Wentz has played a full season since we bought him here.
That's exactly right. And not been
hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Since they paid all that money for him.
Yeah. So injured in all of the seasons he's played in. And they were giving him that's right. So now he has played a full 16 games. And what was the result? 9-7. Even though the Eagles made the playoffs, that's not good enough over the course of an extended career.
No, it's not.
9-7 ain't getting it. No. That just means you were a play here and a play there better than some teams. But you ain't in the top of the chart. You got in because you were playing in a bad conference, or rather bad division. All the other teams wasn't shit. And you played one game better than the other guy. So even though we got in, that's not enough. And I don't think he has the mentality to go in there and be the hardcore dog, because even though Foles was like Napoleon Dynamite, he was hardcore when he got on the field. You could see
he had purpose
when he played. But I don't think Wentz has it. Hurts me as an Eagle fan to say that, but I just don't think Wentz has it to play.
No, I don't. I don't think he has
and
it.
And be a winner consistently for
him. I think once he got hurt, he is not the same player he was when we first got him. He is not.
Exactly.
And I don't think he's ever going to be. I don't.
Mm-mm.
And people are like, well, you know, he came back on the net. But you can tell the difference on how he plays now. He's not the same player. Foles has never changed. He is consistent.
Well, I think there's another avenue to this that makes this even more difficult to digest. Now, you know how the radio and the TV people are and the media in Philly are. You know, they've been sucking this dude's jock for the longest time and ain't been telling the people the truth. And even though McNabb didn't win a Super Bowl, he played well for the Eagles for a long time. And now that he's able to critique and he's telling people the truth, they don't want to hear it, because how can you say that about our white guy? You know, he's really good. No, he's not. McNabb was a Hall of Famer, whether they want to admit it or not. Carson Wentz couldn't touch his jock. That's real talk.
Yep. But we'll see. It's going to be a close one. I don't think he's going to blow us out if we lose. I think it's going to be a very close game. I do. If we win, we ain't going to win by much.
Well,
maybe
proof
3 points.
Of the pudding's in the eating. Let's see what happens. On that note,
we'll see.
We're going to cut it short to allow for Pro Talk and the Buffalo Bills to come in. Pat Freeman coming up in a couple of minutes. Cheryl, give us a final point and a shameless plug, if you will.
Well, I'm hoping my Eagles win tomorrow, you know. I got some money on them, so they've been letting me lose my money.
There you go.
And I beg my damn boyfriend, and he'd be calling me a bitch, better have my money. You know, I ain't in the mood for that. I want to be able to call him up and say, bitch, better have my money. Yeah.
That's right. Tell him, baby.
And my favorite plug is for Little Scholars Academy, 2010 Lawrence Street.
Mm-hmm.
We are at full capacity, but we are taking applications for next September. And the phone number is 342-9500, and we have the pre-K program.
There you go. And again, give my best to Danielle and the staff there for doing such a great job. Cheryl, take it easy, darling. We're going to step out here to allow for Pro Talk to come in a couple of minutes. Everybody enjoy the games this afternoon and evening, and, of course, tomorrow, Eagles, baby. Let's see what they do.
Yeah.
But everybody else, please go safe out there once you get from A to B and back to A-OK. For Sonic, Cheryl, for T-Mac, for Gary Norris Gray, and again at the top of the hour, 4 o'clock, Gary Norris Gray and the Great Olympic Cole, right here on Blog Talk. We out.
You know, we're dealing with a very critical and crucial time. Most crucial and critical time that I've ever witnessed. Being as young as I am, you know. We all don't want to say nothing else, but we stay as young as we are. Now I want to talk about the pronunciation and the realization. Now the educator, they call it ESP, positive thinking, right? Some of the people on the cross the other side of the pond call it vibe, vibration, astrology, and all those different things, you understand? But I call what it is what it is. But it is what it is. Look at him. Now you see, a brother, you take in the ghetto, you find a whole lot of crime. I can understand, hey, I know what it means. Being 9 years old before I got my first pair on the way out of a store. You know, putting on a half-pressed suit from the pawn shop with tennis shoes. Trying to be hip, so I know where it's coming from. Like the fella say, having catfish head stew. And look like the catfish went in there with his head and come out very quick and didn't leave nothing else. That's one thing the educators and the politicians and the establishment got to remember. Now, brothers need jobs. If you don't work, you can't eat. If you don't work, you can't eat. Get hip to yourself, good start, my brother, and get it from the street. If you don't work, you can't eat. This. Don't wait, Lord. You can't eat. So you got to have mind power to deal with starvation. And that's what we're dealing with. You see, we can't go back to the biblical stories. Two loaves of bread. Or two little fishes, five loaves of bread. Two little fishes, yeah. Five loaves of bread. Now look here, too many brothers to go by that. Now I want your brothers to dig where we're coming from. Set your mind right here. Dig the JBE experience. I dug this from a young man out of New York. He said the GBE. The GBE. Now we want to take it to the JBE. The JB experience. And Fred, brother, brother, lay it on me. Lay it. Mind power. It is what it is. It is what it is.